Thanks for listening to this podcast. For more information about the City Gate, visit www.thecitygate.org.
I am so honored to be here, Clay. Thank you so much for the invitation. Thank you guys so much for having me. And I will never forget, actually, Clay was got my number from a mutual friend, Ruth Ann, and he texted me, and then we ended up speaking on the phone, and we barely knew each other. We literally had probably passed at Freedom Church when you were there speaking, and really hadn't even. And here he had this word about my calling and anointing and destiny. It rocked my world. It really, and it was, you know how God delivers those words right when you need it, right? And so I was totally humbled. I was totally honored. I went and got before the Lord because I'm an intercessor. I began to weep. I said, God, thank you, because I was really in a season saying, God, am I heading the right direction? You know, some of what we do is definitely different than some of what the body of Christ wants to do. Not you guys. I'm preaching to the choir here about that. But the reality is, and it was just such a divine moment in my life, and I am forever grateful. And it just blew me away. It really did, that someone I barely knew that the Lord would call and just, you know, and just speak that into my life. And, you know, I'll never forget, I got a message from Cece, and she said, we were talking to Clay, and he has a word for you, and we think you need to hear it, Dutch and I. And I was like, okay. And so anyway, thank you. Thank you for your obedience. Amen. And I'm so thrilled to be here. And I the Lord has given me a specific word. I'm going to teach some concepts that I teach, but the Lord's having me do it in a totally different package for you guys today. And so I'm really excited, and I love Clay and Susan. I love what you guys are doing in the body of Christ here in this region. And so everything that I'm sharing this morning is about your calling and what God has placed here and what He's positioning you even in this warfare arena for this region. Amen. So is everybody ready? All right. And so I'm going to pray, and then we're going to dive in. So, Lord, I just thank you for this time, Lord. I thank you for City Gate. Lord, I thank you for Clay and Susan. Lord, I thank you for this dynamic house, Father God, this dynamic apostolic prophetic house that you have positioned in this region strategically for such a time as this. God, that you have positioned them, Lord, to release an apostolic prophetic movement in this region, Lord, and the surrounding regions, Father God, that there is an awakening that is coming, Father God, to this region because of the apostolic prophetic mantle that is resting in this place. Holy Spirit, I welcome you to come, that everything that you want spoken this morning will be spoken and will be shared. Lord, we don't want just information, Lord. We want impartation. Father God, that what is being shared, that there will be an impartation that will be released, that we will be transformed from glory to glory, and that there will be a shift and a breaking open, even as the words go forth this morning into this region. And Lord, we give you all the glory and honor and praise. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Well, you know, Clay, you make me laugh a little bit because I still to this day, you know, I've written 7 books. Oh, and I'll talk about those. I'm sorry. We have a new guy that's doing our product, and he got confused on the weekends of when I was going to be here. So I have just a little bit in the back, but we also have our website that you can go to purchase our materials, ChristianHarvestIntl.org. And so, but also we have a special going on. My latest book was Let Our Children Go. And it steps to free your child from evil influences and demonic harassment. And we have the book and also a 5 CD teaching series that we are offering right now for $15. And so you can get 5 CDs of me teaching plus the book. And there's little forms back there in the back. I interviewed on Sid Roth. I don't know if any of you saw that. Any of you here watch Sid Roth? And I interviewed with him on this book, and just was a great time. And so anyway, Sid was wanting to make this available to the body of Christ is this special offer. So we're partnering with him to do that. So there's forms at the back if you're interested that you can fill out, and we will fulfill that order for you. And I'll even sign the book when we send it. But back to what I was saying, I chased a rabbit. We actually, it's still very funny to me that I write books. And that to me knows that it's really the Lord, because they tried to fail me in English in college and they told me I could not write. And so when I had 5 prophetic words that I was to write a book, and now I'm a prophet, I prophesy, right? And so, but I had 5 prophetic words that I was supposed to write a book. And the very first word that I got, I looked at that person and I laughed at them. I said, that is not God. I mean, and 4 other prophetic words later, I'm like, oh no. And I'm trying to run from this word. And I thought, okay, wrong thing to do when you know Peter Wagner, but I learned my lesson. I went to him. I said, Peter. And we were hanging out at his property and helping them do some work. And let me tell you, he might be 83, but that man can work. I mean, you know, he tires us out, you know. He'll call us and say, we need to have a work day because we live 15 minutes from him. Can you come help us? And Greg and I are like, oh my gosh, you know, because we know we're going to come home totally exhausted that night. And so, but anyway, so it was one of those days and we were out in the barn and I said, Peter, what do I do when I've had 5 prophetic words to write a book? And Peter looked at me. He goes, what do you mean? What do you do? I said, what do you do? And he said, you write the book. And he walked off. And I was like, oh, you know, so that didn't bring any comfort. It didn't help. It didn't. And so he came up to me 2 days later and he said, okay, now I'm going to be nice. I've been thinking about what I've told you. And he gave me his outline and he said, this is how you write your first book. And so he gave me his outline on how to write a book. And I still have to tell you, every time I complete a book and I go back and I've gone through the whole process, and it's really awesome because I start reading it. And when you've written a book and then you go back and read it and you're teaching yourself, you know, God's in it and that the anointing has showed up to help you write that book. Right. And so, anyway, so Lord, I pray for Clay. I do. Cause you know, every time the Lord tells me to write another book, I'm like, do I have to? All right. But I do anyway. But what I want to talk about, I want us to turn to this scripture. One, you're going to be really familiar with, and it's going to be Jeremiah 1 verses 9 through 12. And I'm going to break this down and I'm going to add other teaching to it. And it's a familiar scripture, but in Jeremiah 1 verses 9 through 12, it says, then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, now I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant. The word of the Lord came to me. What you see, Jeremiah? What do you see, Jeremiah? He says, I see the branch of an almond tree, I replied. The Lord said to me, you have seen correctly, for I am watching to see that my word is fulfilled. And so as the Lord was giving me this scripture, he was saying that this is even a prophetic statement here over City Gate. This is a prophetic statement. God, you are a prophetic house, right? The Lord speaks to you. Clay is a prophet. God, he is hearing from the Lord on a continual. I love being around Clay. He's always hearing from the Lord. I'm like, what is going to come out of his mouth next? And then it doesn't, it? And it just ignites a passion in you, right? And then just like, and of course I'm a prophet too. So then my mind, woo, you know, my spirit starts going there. And, but you know, God has spoken to you about this region. He has spoken to you for many years about this region, and not even just here in South Haven, but even into Tennessee and over into Arkansas and even beyond. And what the Lord was really prophetically speaking to me as I was interceding and preparing this message, he kept using this term. He said, here in Mississippi, up to Tennessee and over to Arkansas. It's like there's a foundation of the anointing and mantle that God has placed on you and this house that's impacting this region, and it's going to even move beyond. But it's like I heard the Lord saying, and this is before you were even sharing this morning, that I heard the Lord with me in the office, but the Lord was saying that there is a foundation that he is establishing in the apostolic prophetic mantle that will get established very strongly with that 3-stranded cord. It will go out beyond that region from what God is birthing in you in this region and in this house. And so everything that I am sharing is coming from that viewpoint and from what the Lord is saying. Everybody good with that? All right. And so we know that the Lord has spoken. We know that the Lord has released prophetic words. So what I want to start looking at, and I'm going to get into some of this warfare stuff, and we're going to tie it into warfare teaching. Is everybody all right with that? And it says, see, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms. And it says to uproot. And when I was looking at these different words, I'm going to give you the definition of what some of these words actually mean. All right. And so this word set, it literally means that God has appointed you. Say, God has appointed me. I am a ruler. I am an overseer. Amen. That God has appointed you as rulers and overseers within this region, literally to legislate judiciously for him and for his kingdom, not only for people, not only, we're going to talk about this, for the land, but even the spiritual atmosphere. Amen. Amen. And so he has set you in this, over this kingdom. He's given you dominion. I'm sure Clay has taught a lot about the word dominion here, right? And so God has given you dominion. I know you know this. He's given you authority in this region as overseers and to see his kingdom released. So what does it mean to root out, all right? What does it mean? When we root out something, this word actually means that you are plucking out, that you are uprooting, and that you are pulling an object out of the ground, right? Like we're going to be like when we pull those weeds, right? We are pulling up that root. And what I heard the Lord saying concerning the land and the region, that there has been much prayer. You guys have done much prayer. And in this season, there are certain areas that you guys have been pressing into saying, God, we need to see this uprooted. We need to see this uprooted once and for all. And in this season, it will be uprooted. And I continued, and I didn't even ask you this morning because I wanted to get in the prophetic and just go where the Lord wanted me to go, but really sensed that even one of these areas where this is happening is going to deal with a religious spirit that has been permeated throughout this region. Now, I want to share something with you because I've been going in and out of Mississippi now since 2008, at least twice a year, down in the Philadelphia, y'all know that area, down in there working with Ruth Ann McDonald and the Choctaw. But I want to tell you, up here, there's a lot. I mean, it's that the religious spirit isn't, I mean, it's like, it's here. I know it's here. It's permeated, but there's more freedom here. It's like, this is, there's like this. I mean, when I got into the region spiritually, and Regina, I know you hang out with us all down there and everywhere else, and you're shaking your head. Yes. It's like when I drove into the city in this region last night in the car, it was like this breath of fresh air. There is a wind that God has released and a breaker anointing that God has released where you have already broken through to a degree that you do not feel in the rest of the state. Okay. It is very obvious. It's very prevalent. What the Lord was speaking to me prophetically is that this is the season where you will literally see it uprooted from the land, where it has permeated the land, so the awakening and the waking asleep, the sleeping giant, can come forth to the fullness. Amen? This is the season you are in. Say, we are in it. This isn't 6 months from now. It's going to be a process, but it's not 2 years from now. You are in it now. Woohoo! All right, I'm going to read one of my favorite scriptures. I want us to turn to Romans 8. And I hope you don't feel like you're on a Bible drill today, but oh well. All right. I think I'm in a house that would totally be fine with that, right? Yes. Romans 8, verses 18 through 21. And this is a scripture that I teach a lot, but even in the worship, I love how God confirms, because what I was hearing the Lord saying is there is a sound that is coming from the land in this season. And it's a sound of awakening. It's a sound of revival. And at the same time, it's a sound of defeat for everything the religious structure has meant for here, for Tennessee, and for Arkansas. It says in Romans 8:18, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. The creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it. And what does it say? In hope, not in death, in hope. Amen. That the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. You are the children of God. Amen. And are you walking in freedom? Amen. What is happening with you in this place of freedom is that the anointing that is flowing from you in this place out in the region is literally releasing the anointing and the sound of the kingdom of God that is seeing the land released. It says, we know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to this present time. But God is saying this is the season for the land to be set free. You know, we teach first fruits. We believe in first fruits. You are the first fruit of God's freedom. And as you are the first fruits of God's freedom, He is releasing it within the land in this region. Say, now is the time. So then it goes on. We're going to keep going. Let's go back to Jeremiah. And then it says in verse 10, it says, not only will you uproot, but you will tear down. And so, tear down, actually another translation can be pull down, cast down. Everybody say overthrow. I really like that word. And so we understand according to Ephesians 6:12, right? That our warfare, let's just read it. Are y'all okay turning to another scripture?
Yes.
All right, Ephesians 6:12. General Electric Power Company. Okay. That's how I learned it. Did somebody else throw another one out there? Is that what I heard? God's efficient power. Hey, I like that. God's efficient power company. Woohoo. All right. I'm going to start using that now. It's better. All right. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. All right. How many of you are familiar with this scripture? And so when we're pulling down, all right, God calls us to pull down, what the Lord was showing me in this season, not only are you going to see the land set free, but even in the spiritual atmosphere with the strongholds, the principalities that the enemy has set up over this region, it is time for them to be pulled down. It is time literally to see that the assignments that they have released in this region, to see them defeated, to see them overthrown. Amen. That everything that has been set up, even with that religious structure. And Clay, even what I'm hearing the Lord saying now, it's not only been a religious structure, but there's also been pushback against the prophetic with Jezebel as well. Correct? And so I'm hearing the Lord saying that those two issues in this region, now is the season to see those overthrown, to see the awakening that God is releasing and for that giant to awake. Amen. How many of you are prophetic intercessors in this room? How many of you haven't been involved in spiritual warfare before? How many of you, you're like, whoa, right? Now, I have to cheat a little bit. Clay was telling me earlier that some of you are about to start prayer walking, right? Yeah? They did. They started prayer. You just started prayer walking. How many of you are part of that group that are prayer walking? Yes. Amen. And I just hear the Lord, I just want to encourage you guys, and I want you, the Lord wants to release to you that God, every place that you are walking and treading, that the Lord is giving you that territory. And that every place, every person you're calling out by name, every business, every home that you are praying over, literally the Lord is showing me that it is a prophetic river, a healing river that is being released among the streets and among those homes and among the people and among the land, that is literally even breaking the mindsets that have lined up with the principalities over the region to see an awakening. Do not grow weary in well-doing, because the Lord has prophetically spoken that now is the time. Amen. So not only are we going to overthrow, I mean, you know, warfare language is actually kind of fun a little bit, right? You know, I mean, when it's used the right way, right? Never against people, but against demonic structures, right? Never against people. We pray grace for people, mercy. But then it says that we're going to destroy and we're going to overthrow. This is not love language, right? This is not love language towards what the enemy sets up in a region. But then he goes on to say, right? Not only are we going to destroy and overthrow, but that we're going to plant, right? Everybody say plant. that we are going to build and we are going to plant. And so when we are building, it literally, and I know Clay is probably taught on this, it means to build a house. It literally means, and this is interesting, and the Lord had me write this down. It literally means to build a house or to be established of restored exiles. And so those that have felt like, how many of you have come to this region because God called you, but how many of you came because you felt like where you were previously, you were almost exiled and God brought you here for a divine moment in such a time as this to establish with those who were exiled from where God had you planted to come here and establish the true apostolic prophetic planting of what he is wanting to build and plant in this region. And the Lord had told me when he was showing me this, that he's brought you here because what you have walked through in your past, you will not do to others. So it has the firm foundation of a safety net of the true apostolic prophetic. Come on, come on, come on. Amen. And not only is it going to be established of restored exiles, but it's going to be a permanent, it literally means established permanently, not just to build, but established permanent. It is a permanent thing that God, it's not going to be a fleeting thing. It's not going to be just like, a visitation. It's going to be like a habitation. It is going to be an established foundational work that cannot be shaken. Oh, isn't God excited? Isn't this awesome? I was like, oh, God, this is great. I claim it too. All right. We're claiming it for Colorado Springs. Woo, we need it. All right. So when you plant, not only are you building, but when you're planting, it's literally like your tent. Like the center of that tent. It's literally being dropped down into this region. And the tent, the covering and the tent pegs are expanding out and out and out. And out. Amen? That it's overshadowing this region. Everybody good?
Yes.
And it says then in verse 11. And when the Lord says, what do you see, Jeremiah? And he said, I see the branch of an almond tree. And the almond tree is actually called the awake tree. Because it blossoms before it leaves in January. And so it is known as the one that's awake. Say, we're awake. Not only are you awake, but it also is literally saying that when he said, I see the branch of an almond tree, the awake tree, the Lord said to me, you have seen correctly, for I am watching to see that my word is fulfilled. And the Lord is watching to see that the words that he has spoken over you guys concerning destiny, concerning the apostolic prophetic, concerning this region, Tennessee, up in Arkansas. And I just hear the Lord saying, Clay, and I know I sent you a prophetic word when you first started going into Arkansas, but that God is going to continue in such a move of signs and wonders, breakthrough suddenlies. That it's like this momentum is literally, it's like coming up from here over into Arkansas. And I just see it sweeping when I was in intercession last night and this morning, sweeping across Arkansas. And every bit of the religious structure that was holding back that move, it can't even stop at this time. The momentum of what God has done, it's doing in this season, it will not be stopped. And then the Lord showed me prophetically, going down into Mississippi, and you guys have even prayed about this and talked about it. You're still feeling just a little of going down into Mississippi. It's like it wasn't a wall, but it's almost like this barrier. That's the right word. That there's like going down into Mississippi. There's been little inklings, but there's still been a barrier. And the Lord is saying, this is the season that barrier is coming down. So what is happening from this northwestern gate will flow down through to the rest of the state. Amen. Yeah, I want you to absolutely.
She keeps talking about the states, and we have it here. You know, Chuck's word on August the 9th, I don't know, what I forget years, just a couple of years, 3 years ago, when he came here was about Arkansas, Tennessee, and Mississippi.
Uh-uh.
He said God was creating in this region an ATM. To make spiritual withdrawals from.
Woo!
That's what these three keys are about.
I did not know that.
The other thing, the Lord just spoke to me and I looked it up with it. This is the date March the 23rd, 1775, when Patrick Henry said, give me liberty or give me death.
Oh, come on.
Today.
Woo-hoo-hoo! Go God.
Come on. You can't make this stuff happen.
You
can't make it happen.
Come on.
And I hadn't even had a chance to search it out, but I'm going to search out her. Michael, where's Michael? You go look up the strong number 1775, because that was the year he said that.
Yeah.
And see if there's any value in the Greek words there and everything. Listen, you need to listen to this. It's coming together. I feel like the reason I got up, I'm going to give it back to you. We need to pass these keys.
Amen.
Around, that's and good. Everybody needs to touch them. In fact, not just touch them, you need to take, and I want somebody that can do this. I want Arkansas, Tennessee, and Mississippi painted on these keys.
Come on.
With it. But you need to unlock things over your family with
on.
That. But just make
Amen.
Sure it goes around the whole room. Don't carry them home with you, okay? I've tried them in every bank in town. They don't work on any of them. Right?
Woohoo, I love what, isn't this awesome? Isn't God awesome? Amen. I had no idea, guys. I did not know. All right. And so, well, I've already prophesied this part. And you are in a place where awakening is going to occur. Now, I want you to turn while you're passing those keys around. And I'm going to teach you from a scripture that I teach on when I teach from this. But I'm going to do it prophetically. I want you to turn to Acts 16. Is this all right? You know, I think God is amazing. Because, you know, you can hear God speaks words and prophetic words of destiny, right? Yeah. And then it's like, and then you pray, you contend into it, you believe it, right? You're totally standing on it, and time passes, and then it's like, okay, God, how many of you are like, God, we've been praying, when is this going to happen? When are you going to release it, right? And then, you know, God sends someone in to just totally confirm again what he's saying, and it's now is the time. But what I'm going to talk on, and I'm going to talk about Paul and Silas in Philippi. And it's in Acts 16:16. But I'm just going to teach a little bit before we go up to it. How many of you are familiar with what happened with Paul and Silas when they were in Acts, when they were in Philippi, right? With the slave girl. But what is so awesome about this, and this is what the Lord was even saying, because, you know, it was about this exile part, right? And that God has sent many of you here. And Paul was not intending to go to this region. And he was actually intending to go elsewhere, but the Lord came to him in a vision and was very specific, and we'll just read it. Let's just read that verse. Let's see. It's Acts 16, verse 9. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, come to Macedonia and help us. After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, according that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. And so Macedonia wasn't on his radar. It wasn't where he was planning on going. How many of you, when God moved you here to South Haven, and when you got here, it wasn't on your radar, but God like a vision and supernaturally said, you have to go. Amen? And so God has orchestrated the steps to have you here during this time. And so this man appears to him. So then we know they get into Philippi. And when they're in Philippi, they stayed. It says, let's go to verse, let's just read 11. From Troas, we put out to sea and sailed straight to, I don't know, how do you say that one? Samothrace? That sounds like a good southern way to say it. And the next day on to Neapolis. From there, we traveled to Philippi, a Roman colony and the leading of that district of Macedonia. And we stayed there several days. On the Sabbath, we went outside the city gate to the river where we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and began to speak to the women who had gathered there. One of those listening was a woman named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth from the city of Thyatira, who was a worshiper of God. I love this. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. When she and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us to stay in her home. If you consider me a believer in the Lord, she said, come and stay at my house. And she persuaded us. So God has brought many of you here to South Haven and to City Gate, right? Just as the Lord appeared to Paul in a vision and he started orchestrating. We know how God does that. When you are in God's alignment, in his timing, he starts orchestrating the relationships. So now after he moves within Lydia and her household. They end up staying with them and extending their stay in Philippi. And so let's keep going. This is the season you guys are in right now where we're headed. Once we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl who had a spirit by which she predicted the future, and she earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune telling. Now, I love this word from Chuck, obviously, who wouldn't? ATM, right? This lady and this slave girl was controlling wealth in the marketplace through her gift of fortune telling. She was controlling the wealth in the region because she was gifted. In this time when this was written, they actually worshipped a religious structure, and the god that they were worshipping was Apollo, or Pythias is what his name was. And he was the one that was controlling the whole religious atmosphere of the region. It was a principality. It was idolatry. Everybody with me? He was controlling that region, and she was receiving her demonic empowerment from him, which was then controlling the religious atmosphere of that region. And everybody say, and resources.
And resources.
See, what God is not only doing in this time is seeing the land set free and the atmosphere set free spiritually of a religious spirit in Jezebel, but there's also a release of the resources that God is going to bring in this season for the fullness of the vision. Amen. And so this girl followed them. She followed Paul and the rest of us shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved." And she kept this up for many days. Finally, Paul became so troubled that he turned around and he said to the Spirit, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her." And at that moment, the Spirit left her. Now, in ancient culture, if somebody in Jewish culture could announce your identity in a certain area or the region you were in before you announced it, it literally meant that they had more authority over you. So when this slave girl, it wasn't even just a manifestation of the Spirit through her. It was a way of trying to usurp Paul and Silas's authority in that region through the wrong religious structure that was planted over that region to say, "I've identified you before you have yourself, therefore I have authority over you." Ha 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 ha. So for 3 days, now hear me, Paul knew the weight of what he was dealing with. And I believe he was waiting. Everybody say, God's timing.
God's timing.
It has to be God's assignment.
God's assignment.
And he was hearing. And for 3 days, she does this. And finally, he becomes so irritated. And I don't believe it was just his irritation. I believe the Lord said, do it now. And so hearing that command from the Lord and stepping into God's timing and understanding the dynamic of what he was dealing with, he turned and he cast that spirit out of the girl, right? And it left. Well, then what happens? Everybody good? I love this story. When the owners of the slave girl realized that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to face the authorities. They brought them before the magistrates and said, "These men are Jews and they are throwing our city into an uproar." Now, let's say Regina, you'll be the guinea pig, right? Regina's my friend. I love Regina. How many of you know Regina? She's awesome. She rocks. And so, if I'm praying for Regina, and we do deliverance and inner healing ministry, and we've done it for 24 years, and we love seeing people set free, this is not prophetic in any way, shape, or form, all right? But when I'm praying for her, let's say, what spirit do you want to have today?
Just
religious. Well, we're on the religious spirit, so let's just stay there. And so, let's say I'm praying for her, and she gets set free from religious spirit, right? Are we all going to rejoice in someone's getting freedom, right? Who is someone in this region that carries a lot of authority that if you say your name, their name, everybody in this room is going to know? Who would that be? Like a political leader or, yeah. Huh?
AC Warden.
AC Warden, all right. So who's, what does he do?
Mayor.
He's the mayor. All right. Let's say I'm praying, AC Warden is giving like this television like interview, right? And let's say Prophet Becca Greenwood walks onto the set while he is on the show, and I cast out a spirit of religion in him. And everybody sees it, the whole news media, the whole region. First of all, I'm going to be taken away and thrown into a straitjacket because who's this crazy lady that came on the set, right? Much like what happened to Paul and Silas. But the reality is that's going to cause an uproar in the region. Yes. It's going to make the national news, at least across the nation. Who is this crazy woman that comes up and casts this spirit of religion out of this man when he's doing a newscast? Why? Because he carries territorial authority. This girl might have been a slave girl, but she was controlling the marketplace because her gifting was so strong from that false religious structure. And when he cast it out, all of a sudden their city is being thrown into an uproar. But everybody hold on. Hang with me, all right? And it says they're throwing our city into an uproar by advocating customs unlawful for us Romans to accept or practice. A crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into the prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. Now, I know you guys haven't been imprisoned here. I understand that you haven't been flogged. But spiritually, at times in this region, with what God is birthing, have you felt spiritually that it has been like, oh, we are really pressing, and there has been great resistance to what we're releasing, right? That is ending. That's coming to an end in this season. So I love this. Upon receiving such orders, he put them in the inner cell and he fastened their feet in stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening. Everybody say worship.
Worship.
Worship is one of the most powerful weapons of warfare. Everybody say suddenly.
Suddenly.
That's my favorite word in the whole thing. Suddenly, right? There was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prisons were shaken, and at once all the prison doors flew open and some chains came off. Everybody's chains came off. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself. We are all here." The jailer called for lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. "What must I do to be saved?" Not only did he get saved, but his household got saved. And so what happens? They cast this spirit out, right? And it leaves this void. There's a void, right? And so instead of shrinking back, they get into that place. And they start worshiping and praising and decreeing God's goodness in the region. And they fill it back up with his presence. And when they are doing this, it caused an earthquake that shook the foundations of Apollo worship in the land, in that region. And everybody that was held captive, the prison doors flew open. And everybody's chains came loose, and a move of salvation and a harvest springs forth. You know, I love the next part too. Not only is it a move and a harvest, but then the government. Let's see how the government. Let's see how the old structure handles this. When it was daylight, verse 35, the magistrates sent their officers to the jailer with the order, "Release those men." The jailer told Paul, "The magistrates have ordered that you and Silas be released. Now you can leave. Go in peace." But Paul said to the officers, "Hey, they beat us publicly without a trial, even though we are Roman citizens, and threw us into prison. And now do they want to get rid of us quietly? No, let them come themselves and escort us out." That was a bold statement for him to make. But now they know, oh my goodness, they're Romans, right? So listen, the officers reported this to the magistrates. And when they heard that Paul and Silas were Roman citizens, they were alarmed. They came to appease them and escorted them from the prison, requesting them to leave the city. After Paul and Silas came out of prison, they went to Lydia's house where they met with the brothers and encouraged them, and then they left. Listen, they went from being the ones imprisoned. They went from being the ones being held back. They went from being the ones without the favor to worshiping the Lord, seeing the foundations of the worship canceled in that region. Everybody's chains came loose. A harvest came forth. There was an awakening that occurred. And even those who now, they can see clearly and hear clearly who these men are. And those that were responsible for pushing back then turned and came to them and said, "We will now escort you out of this place, of this prison that we placed you in." There was a shifting in the region where even those that had pushed and worked against, there was an honoring that began to come forth for them, even from the governmental leaders of that region who had worked against what they were doing.
Good word.
Yes.
That's the season you're in.
Yeah.
Harvest, awakening, and a shifting of the governmental spiritual structures to where they will be able to see who God has called you to be at City Gate and in this anointing and calling and the apostolic prophetic. And they will be like, we have to honor what God is doing in this season. And we ourselves will come to escort them out of the wrong place that we put them in. I want to share a testimony. Can I share a testimony? When we pray and God gives us, which one? Just listening to the Lord. I'm going to share. We pray around the world. And this is actually just one aspect of what we do, or one anointing of what we do within our ministry. But we were recently in China. And we were there for 2 weeks. And this is what I really want to encourage you with. This is what we're seeing, Clay. What I'm about to share. These kinds of moves of God and suddenlies. Because we're in the year, right, of suddenlies. And I'm even going to talk about that more tonight. Suddenlies, amen. I'm going to talk about a double portion of suddenlies tonight. And so, but the reality is we're in this place of suddenlies. And we are praying. We prepared for like 4 or 5 months to go into China. And we're partnering with some of the wealthiest people in China who are spirit-filled believers, who have invited us in, marketplace leaders, governmental Christian leaders, to come in at their invitation to pray to see things begin to shift spiritually for China, that there can be a harvest, there can be an awakening, and they can see kingdom transformation come. Kind of fun, right? And so we were there praying for 2 weeks. And we were praying over specific areas and regions that the Lord had highlighted to us when we were doing this praying. And when we were praying, we were going to places of idolatry. Listen, there is one place of idol worship where literally over $10.5 billion comes into the nation of China a year when people come and bow and worship in front of this idol. And so the Lord had us go, and he let us get, it was really a lot of fun. We actually got to go literally, he allowed, open the door, we only do this when God does it, to literally go right into the inner place and stand right there where, you know, and by ourselves. And so the Lord had us start prophesying destiny of China, prophesying resources of China that they would be released into God's kingdom. It's a powerful, dynamic time. The Lord told us to climb the highest point. We climbed the highest point called Five Finger Mountain, and we got up to the top, and it was the head source of a river that started up there at the top, and it was actually the idol we were praying about that day was Guanyin. And we got up there, and it was actually the original Li people of that region. They had that was where they were. That's where they lived. And so we were with a spirit-filled lead pastor. And we said, listen, you're the prophet today. We're going where God tells you that we're supposed to go. So we prayed, and the Lord said, you go up this path and just keep following, and you're going to find what you need. When we got up there, there was a river. It was a head source of a river that started there, went all the way down through the area that we were in, Sanya. And it literally went out next to that big idol right by the sea at Guanyin. And the river literally means, translated into English, prosperity and transformation. And guess who it was dedicated to? That idol, Guanyin.
Wow.
We had no idea till we got up there that that's what we were going to find. So we started praying, and we started decreeing destiny of China. Now, guys, and we started decreeing that the resources that had been held up in darkness and hidden places would be released into the kingdom of God. And we started claiming a harvest of souls. Powerful time, right? Awesome. We taught in their school, the leader's school. They have a school. And we taught in that school that Saturday. And when we were teaching, there was a young woman that came up and asked me to minister to her. So me and another gal started praying for her. And we got this word that that God was about to bring salvation into her family. Her mother-in-law and sister-in-law had not been in that meeting, came in to pick her up, walked into the room, felt the presence of the Lord, and got saved, not even having heard one bit of the message, just came in and felt God's presence and got saved. Come to find out, she's married to the wealthiest real estate tycoon in the whole nation of China and the third wealthiest real estate tycoon in the world. Wow. We received a phone call 30 minutes later saying, will you come to my house tomorrow night? So we go from praying that the resources will be released into the home of the wealthiest real estate tycoon, like Donald Trump. It was like going to Donald Trump's house. Never met this man. It was his wife and mother and sister that got saved. We end up in his home. And he's like, you know, tell me about Jesus. Tell me about God. We prophesied over him, laid hands on him. This close. Oh, he's so close. But we're still in contact with him and the economist that we work with. This close to salvation, but so hungry and so close that now he is sowing into, through his wife, resources into the kingdom of God, into this church and into this movement. And now he himself is starting to come. Oh, he's just this close to getting saved. Not only that, but there was another gentleman and he called our friend, the leader we were working with in China. And he said, I want to meet with you and that woman from the U.S. tonight. And so it was tired. We didn't have a good interpreter that night. So I was missing some things in translation. Praise God for his voice and the prophetic, right? So I thought he was wanting to meet with the gentleman that was hosting us, not me. I didn't understand that part. We just didn't have an interpreter. Get in the car, start driving back to the hotel. Conviction of the Lord fell on me. I heard him as plain as I would hear Clay saying something to me right now. That is a divine appointment. You turn this car around and you get to that meeting. And I was like, ooh, and I told the whole team, we're turning the car around now. Call them. We got to find them. We are going to this meeting. I was not understanding. And the whole caravan stopped. We were in three cars that night. Got reconnected. They came and met with us. We showed up at his place, his office at 10:30 that night. He literally is like running this transformational. He's a believer. And he's running a community where they're building condos. They have banks. They have schools. They have supermarkets. You know, we have those kind of communities there in the U.S. But it's a new thing that they're doing in China. But this man is a believer. And the only presence that he will allow onto the one that he is managing is a Christian church. No idols, no other influence. But God's blessing him. But he's still getting pressure from the government because that's the only spiritual influence that he will allow. But they also won't kick him out because he's making so much money because God's blessing it. But yet they pressure him every single day. And so we show up. I didn't know this man. All right. And our friend said, prophesy, pray over him. That's what he wants. So I started prophesying. I said, you are like a David coming against a Goliath. And I said, but God is going to show you how to wield those stones to where you can do it in wisdom, and that God, your favor of God will rest on you. He has called you to this region for such a time as this because you are a key person for transformation. And he began to weep, and he said, I have been praying for 5 years for God to send a prophet to tell me what to do. He said, I have been a David like coming against Goliath and Saul every single day, and that's what I've been telling the Lord, and do I stay because it's been so difficult? And he said, and because you have delivered this word, I now know that you are the prophet sent from God, and I'm going to stay and be committed to what God has asked me to do. We left that meeting, and he turned to the gentleman that we're working with in China and gave him a $20 million building to birth Wagner Leadership Institute in China. We stood in that building the next night worshiping God. That's the kind of suddenly season. That's the kind of breakthrough season that we are in the body of Christ. When God speaks it
and we hear his voice and we step out and we are obedient and we release his decrees and prophetic, apostolic, prophetic declarations and destiny of that region in alignment with him, suddenlies are happening, breakthroughs are happening, and we're watching the supernatural manifest before we can even get on the plane to leave the nation to come home. That's what God's doing here. Now is the time for Mississippi. Now is the time for Arkansas, Tennessee, and Mississippi. Now is the season for City Gate and what you have been praying into, what you've been pressing into, what you've been decreeing, what you've been standing for. Now is a season where you are going to see the suddenlies happen. You've already seen them, and it's just going to accelerate. And I just prophesy and decree right now, even from this place, down from the Northwestern Gate, right? Northwestern Gate, down through Mississippi, that any barrier, it's not a wall, it's just like a barrier. It's kind of moving a little bit, but it's a barrier, that spiritual barrier, that it will come down. Now is the time and the season, and that will be a move of God from this Northwest region down through Mississippi, where the religious structures that have been pushing back will no longer push back, and that there will be an apostolic divine unity that will come with those that have pushed back to see God's movement released to the fullness.
I hear the Lord saying that even as the man was resurrected in this state, as a sign of what I want to do across this nation, even in the town that he was resurrected in, it was the town that Charles Mason was born in. And even as years ago when a split came in the Pentecostal movement and the one denomination would not allow another to be a part, I would have you to know that it's not by chance that that man that was raised from the dead came from the same town that Charles Mason.
Wow.
Because I'm about to raise something up, says
wow.
the Lord. I'm about to resurrect something,
wow.
says God. I'm about to do that has not been seen. So prepare yourself for what is coming, for even the word of the Lord that's being spoken this day.
Amen.
That the warfare will come. For know this, says the Lord, it is a time of suddenly, but it's also a time of unity and oneness that's coming.
Amen. Amen.
For that was divided years ago, it was a time that came in the 90s that they gathered together here in Memphis and a repentance came. They called it the miracle in Memphis, and the AG repented to the Church of God of Christ and they came back together again. And even as that miracle took place here, I'm seeking to do another miracle, says the Lord. I'm going to tear down the structures and the walls that have divided my people.
On,
I'm going to take away the pet doctrines that has caused those that would not come in. And I'm going to crush them under my feet, says the Lord. For even as the walls of Jericho came down, as my angels danced upon them and drove them into the ground, the walls that have divided my people will be trodden under feet as the angels begin to dance upon it, and it will be torn down. But you must know, saith the Lord, that I'm resurrecting that which has not been seen, and I'm raising it up that it will be seen, and I will bring unity and oneness to this area, says the Lord.
Amen, amen. And the Lord was sharing me, and I didn't know that. The Lord literally said to me that the healing revival that was capped off years ago, it's uncapped, and it will start flowing again within the next 6 months. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. So while he's playing, I want you guys to stand up. Wow, I got done before 12:30. That's not like me. I usually go way over. Yeah, okay, good. Thank you, Jesus. So, Lord, I want you to put your hands up. So, Lord, right now, over each person that is in this room today, over City Gate, over the regions, even Regina, you claim this girl for your region. Amen? You're grabbing it. Over the regions that are represented in this room, Father God, I speak and release, I prophesy, I decree over each person that the divine strategies, Kairos moment strategies, come forth now in Jesus' name.
Come on.
I call forth the visions that will be the suddenlies. I call forth the dream that will catapult and step into the suddenly. Lord, I call in the warfare strategies that are God-breathed, not man-breathed.
that will keep us busy and tired, but divine spoken strategies of breakthrough. I call them forth now in Jesus' name. Lord, with these keys, Arkansas, Tennessee, and Mississippi, Lord, the ATM, not only is it a spiritual ATM, it's a resource ATM. Lord, I call forth the strategies that would see the religious structures, to see Jezebel, to see these things that have worked against this work, defeated, thrown down, overthrown, and healing completely released to this land. Lord, I speak a refreshing wind of your spirit over these men and women, God, over these intercessors, over the prophetic intercessors, over the warfare intercessors. God, I speak and release a refreshing wind of fire. Father God, let that cry of passion, of holiness, for awakening come to fullness in Jesus' name. I call them on the wall. I pray, Lord, I decree right now the intercessors on the wall through all the watches. 9 to 12, 12 to 3, 3 to 6, 6 to 9, 9 to 12, 12 to 3, 3 to 6. I call it forth now in Jesus' name. A passion and a cry that will arise. 12 to 3, 3 to 6, 6 to 9, 9 to 12, 12 to 3, 3 to 6, 6 to 9, 9 to 12. We call forth the watchman on the wall with the fresh fire and passion that will not shrink back, but that will bring forth the fullness of the warfare breakthrough, the prophetic breakthrough, and the awakening and revival. Clay, I'm going to give one more word. I hear the Lord saying, and I literally don't, we haven't talked about this, but even with governmental leaders in this region, that there is about to be a divine connection and favor that is coming, that there will be a clear relationship that is established with key governmental people within, not only here in this region, but that whole Arkansas, Tennessee, and Mississippi, that Arkansas, Tennessee, and that there's going to be, you're going to have a freedom. They're going to want the prophetic word of the Lord that will cause them to speak and release righteousness in all that they are doing for the kingdom of God. There are several that have been positioned that are sold out to the Lord in all three of the areas in these places. And God's connecting you and even those in this house with those people in this season. And the apostolic prophetic voice of what God has birthed here will begin to orchestrate legislation. It will begin to orchestrate justice. It will begin to set spiritual atmospheres governmentally, even in the Capitol buildings within these three states. And I'm just going to say it, I don't know who, but they're seeing three people in this house that they have been trained. They have been placed, they've been trained apostolic prophetically, and you might know who they are. I'm just going to throw this out here, that God has been tugging on their hearts, not to just pray, but to get involved. And God's going to open up doors for them in this season to have favor, that you will actually even have those from this house sent into those places as well, to have influence. Literally, well, that is their mountain that they are called to be in. Because just as you have been called, the house has been called. Governmentally, spiritually, is called governmentally in the land. Amen.